The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for being there today. Thank you for tuning in. Thanking all my longtime listeners as well as the new listeners and friends alike. Thank you for being a part of Barrington Awaken. What we do here is we hope to raise you to a higher level of consciousness, for you to wake up. We are dead asleep, we're fast asleep, we're not thinking, and we're not using the brain as best as we could, and we're not living our best life. Therefore, we want to raise you to a higher level of consciousness for you to be more alert, for you to understand that you are the greatest. You are on the top shelf. You are not lesser to anyone, nor is there anybody greater to you. You are equal, and we're all the same. A lot of people don't want to admit that because they're too busy thinking that they're superior. And some are thinking that they're inferior, but we're not. Wake up to your own reality. Wake up to your best self. Welcome to the new you. You are in control. You are in the driver's seat. You are the one that makes all the decisions that impacts your life, be it good or bad. So make the good decisions. And we're going to talk a lot today about being in good company. Therefore, you have to wake up. We all have to connect ourselves to a spiritual way of life and allow our minds to rally back to the way nature intended for us to live. We are given instructions on life, but we don't take heed of that. And if you ever get that gut feeling in your belly about something that was going to happen, a lot of us today are saying, I shouldn't have listened. I should have followed my gut. And yes, you should have. That is your spiritual connection through the soul trying to tell you which direction to go. The same information that would be given to all the other living creatures on this planet, much like the gods that they are and the God that we are. They are connected spiritually to their instinctive guides. This is how they know, the deer will know to run away as the lion approaches. They know that they're natural enemies, or at least one is the lunch to the other. Therefore, we have the same ability to be connected to our instinctive information. We showed up here in the human body with all the information that is necessary for us to live this fulfilling life and live our best self. And most importantly, be confident through our journey As you acquire this body and you move forward, you carry everything that is required for you to utilize that to live a best life, to be happy at all time, not to be swimming in pools of anger or negativity or depression, or even to be evil towards another fellow person, man, woman. We have all that within us. We showed up with everything that is required, and it's in your tool bag, I always call it. It's within you. We were taught to look externally for guidance, help, support, hope, and all the above. Unfortunately, it's not listed out there. It is in the most carefully kept spot alive, and that is within you. You need to go within yourself, find the ability to correct anything that you feel you need to correct, or to at least eliminate anything that's making you feel lesser. Wake up is what we talk about. Raise yourself to the higher level of consciousness. This is what our aim is, and hope that everybody will figure out how to get to the gate of the righteous path, how to get to the point where they have the ability, they recognize that they have the ability to create everything that they desire in life, or at least need in life. The desire list could be very big, and we may not have enough time in this body to accomplish all the things that we want. But nature did give us all the education that is required. Nature did provide all the education, or the ability to attain the education that is required. Sadly, nature did not give us enough time to acquire all the education information that is necessary. Wake up though, and thank you for coming to the show. You're listening to Barrington. Beautiful day out there. It's a bit rainy, but we're still loving it. We're still warm here where we're broadcasting from in Southern Ontario. So to all my listeners all around the world, thank you for tuning in. All the old-time listeners, I appreciate you being there. I love the email that I get, emails that I do get from you from time to time, and I respond to them as best as I can. Some will give me a little chuckle, but most often I am comfortable in accepting the fact that you are part of the show and you are there paying attention. Should you have any questions or concerns, don't hesitate to email that same address, awaken1308@gmail.com. That's where you reach us. So thank you for being there. To all the longtime listeners, to all the old, to the new listeners, welcome to Barrington Awaken. Welcome, everybody. Welcome home. Thank you. Do you know, a study was done, and they put a white rabbit in a white room, and everything in that room was white, including the rabbit. And within time, sorry, the rabbit was black. Let me change that. Everything in the room was white except the rabbit. The rabbit was black. And eventually, that black rabbit changed its color to white to blend in and to become a part of that environment. Probably, maybe for protection, or just because it's taken on what surrounds them. Much like the polar bear. I hear that they're all black, but when you look at them, you see white. They need to adapt or blend into their environment. And that would definitely be safety anyways. And it'd be very hard for them to sneak up on their food when they're the only odd colored thing around. My point is, we human beings tend to become product of our environment. We tend to blend in and accept what's around us. Is it good or bad? Well, that is left to your own interpretation, good or bad. However, if you are a part of a certain environment, you will blend in and be a part of it. You will be the bird that's flocking together, because you all share the same thing. I think they say birds of a feather flock together. That's what I'm trying to say. Therefore, whatever environment that you're part of, more than likely you're like everybody else in that room, in that environment, maybe the culture if it's not serving you, you may want to look to change something about it. Is it the relationship? Is it the work environment? Is it the neighborhood, the community, your boys, your friends, whoever you hang with, or girls? Eventually, inevitably, you become a part of that. If you aim to soar like the eagle, well, you'll have to stop flocking with the turkeys. And this, again, requires you to change the environment. Are you in that particular environment that's putting you down, making you feel bad, making you feel unworthy, or even afraid, or anxious, or sad? Is it the environment and you need to change that? Is it the people and you need to change that? Because inevitably we become a part of that environment, much like throwing a sponge into the water. Eventually it will suck it up because that's what that thing will do. Therefore, we want to talk about, are you adapting to the environment for the better? Or is it causing you undue stress or pain or negativity? Is it serving you? Are you liking it? If not, we need to change it. So the environment that you're part of has a huge impact on your life. And you may feel that you're not a part of it. There's no way I'm like them. There's no way I'm like that one. No way. But yes, there is a way, because if you're in the same area, you will have the same impact, and the tailwind from their attitude will affect you some way or another. If you're in a room and somebody breaks wind, how do you escape it other than to change the environment? Are we adapting to something that's not us? Are we being friends or being colleagues or being chum buddies or whatever you want to call it with something that's not serving you? Are you a part of that environment where you're being bombarded by negativity? Are you a part of that environment where you've been put down to be made to feel lesser? Now it's time to change. And this is very hard because a lot of people don't enjoy changing, but you need to know it's necessary. Change is inevitable and it's absolutely necessary to do so. Therefore, when you take a good look at the environment that you're part of, the circle, your friends, the relationship, the coworkers, anything that is that holds your attention for a long time, please be mindful of how it impacts you or the influence you may have on that group. Now, if you're single and it's a bigger group, chances are you may not win that battle. You may hold on to some of your qualities, but you need to know if you lay down with the dogs, you are going to wake up with fleas. That is just a fact of life. How do you change this environment? First of all, you have to acknowledge it, recognize it. Does it serve you? Are you an angrier person? Are you as comfortable as you can be with your own self, confident within you? Are you more afraid? Are you less afraid? And if you are a part of a group because of fear, it is doing more damage to you than it's doing good, because the strength that you have is not being utilized. It's being put on the side burner, the back burner, maybe left over there in the trailer. If you're there because you're afraid of not being there, that is doing more damage to you, because you are giving up the strength that's within you to accept the comfort that this group may offer you. But you're sacrificing too much for that comfort, especially when you could step away, find the strength or the energy or the confidence to step away and develop your own rock solid confidence. You must acknowledge the group that you're part of and see how it impacts your life. Don't think for a second you could go in there and change it, because you will lose that battle. Whatever choice or decision that you may have made to bring you to that place, you also have the ability within you, the abilities to reverse it. You have the abilities to reverse it. I want to say our bodies are very forgiven. And once you step away from the negative side of everything, it will replace the negativities with confidence and more positivity. Wake up is what we talk about. I know I'm going a little bit fast through this today, but I just want to let you know if something in the environment that you're part of every day is not serving you, you owe it to yourself to step up, step out, and change it, because it's doing more damage. And the longer you hang around and stay in there, will be the harder it is to walk away. You will have to make that decision, hopefully sooner than later. Wake up is what we talk about. We want you to rise up and to live your best self. For this to start, you need to understand where you stand. Where am I right now? What part of my life do I want to examine right now? And that part should be, where will I blossom? Where will I grow? Where will I achieve greatness? Because it is within you. You have comparably the mushroom and the rose, and they both have their own environment for survival, for existence. The mushroom could be locked in the corner and fed BS and it'll grow and do well. The rose would not do well there at all. Nor will the mushroom do well in the rose garden either. Therefore, they both have their own environment. You need to figure out which one. Are you the beautiful rose that needs to blossom and grow? I say yes. And maybe you're not the mushroom, so you need to step away from that BS, no pun intended, and move towards something else that's going to serve you better. You have that ability within you. Later on, we're going to talk about how to tap into that source that's going to give you the strength to guide you to what I consider and you will love as greatness. There is a method, and it starts by checking where you stand. If the environment that you're part of is a little chaotic, it's a little messy, maybe disorganized, maybe not as pristine as you need it to be, that is an external reflection of what is going on internally within you. Your environment is showing you what it looks like to be in your head. Maybe a little scrambled, maybe a little confused, maybe organized and neat. However, you do have the opportunity to get a visual as to what it should look like. So the chaos will disappear once you've learned how to become more confident within yourself, energy-wise, and you will see it on the external of you, of the external of the body. We haven't talked much about the body today and the spirit and the soul, and that the body itself is only a vehicle that carries you through life. All that you are dwells within that body, and it delivers you from point A to point B. It's only your vehicle that makes the journey for you. The true you resides within that body. Wake up and acknowledge that. Check the environment that you're part of. Are you being in a situation where you're being taken advantage of? Are you in that situation where others are mistaking you for weak because you choose to be kind? Others may take advantage of you because that's what they know how to do. And that entire phrase starts with taking, and that's what they know how to do. If you're not that person, and they're taking advantage of you, do not allow them to change the path that is rightfully yours. You have to stay strong within the cage of the wolves, I suppose, or get out of it. You can't fight them all, but you can leave. If somebody approaches you with their anger, you simply acknowledge the fact that, yes, thank you for the gift that you're trying to offer me, the anger, but I refuse. And you can keep that. as you hold who you are. Because if you allow a situation to break you, you will be lost. Finding your way back will be very difficult. So you need to fight for that right to be who you are. By saying that, you need to know who you are. And once you find that, you hold that like you would your life, because it is. You must fight for the right to maintain who you are, and do not allow the abuse of verbal diarrhea, I'd like to say, from others to alter that. Once it's taken away, it will be very difficult to get it back. But there is always that journey back. There's always the way to find your way back. Wake up. Do not allow the environment, the people, the friends, society, the group, the club, to tell you how to live. If it's not serving you now, it won't serve you tomorrow. If you linger there long enough, you will accept it. And if you accept it, eventually you internalize it, and eventually you become it. You will never be happy. You're just settling. And we're not designed to settle. Wake up is what we're saying. Open your eyes. Realize your full potential. If you are standing in that place of the swampy waters, please note, be mindful, there is another way. Do we have any emails there, sir?
Hello, we do. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with, of course, your host, Barrington. You could write us right now with a question, a thought, a comment. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Alice did that, and she says, Barrington, when you were talking about some people are brain dead at the beginning of your show, I said to myself, right on, everyone I know is brain dead. Okay, that's from Alice. Okay, Alice, thank you for that comment. Jake wrote in, so when we come back, you say we are to finish what we started. How long does that go on for? That's from Jake. Thank you, Jake. And Paul writes in, and oh, this is a little bit of a joke. Paul writes in and he says, when you were talking about breaking wind, he says, here's what I do. When I break wind, I tell people in the room, is that popcorn I smell? And I watch everyone take a whiff. That's from Paul. And back to you, sir.
Okay, Paul. Yes, that was kind of funny. You're inviting people to share. You know, it is good to share. And I think that's why they smell, so the deaf can appreciate them as well. I just thought I'd say that. But that's funny. Thank you for that. It's a good joke. Jake, we're going to go to you and saying, when do we finish returning? If you were here for a specific purpose and you missed it, if you had to deliver a message or bring something forth for humankind, mankind, and you didn't do it, something had knocked you off your path and you missed life, you went through your entire life, the existence of in the body until you lay it down to get a new one and come back. If you miss that mark, you will come back and do it again. And you will travel this journey. Now, it's been said many times that we go through our lives many, many times. And I've heard of hundreds and thousands. Why? I'm not sure. The purpose? I'm not sure. Maybe they have several messages for each generation that they need to deliver. But sure enough, we don't go anywhere. And I've said on this show many times, there is no up there to go or down there to go. We are here. And when we're finishing the physical part of our existence, which is riding through this journey with a body, we lay it down, we get a new one, and we start again. Are you coming to deliver the same message? Are you taking up a new task? The message was yes the other day, and today, of course, we've changed it to no. I'm not sure of that. I do know that we do have the ability to come back and come back and come back again. And most often is to repeat the journey or to fulfill the task that we miss. Now, there's a lot of influences that exist here when you show up as a new human being, a new body. And a lot of people or cultures or groups or, you know, will pull you in a certain direction of telling you how to live, where to go, the way you should live. Your name is Jake and you're a man and you should live this way and have these friends and this is religion you should follow and these are the best foods for you. All these things that were laid out for you before you had an ability to say, hey, back up, let me do my own thinking, was given to you. And you saw them, you took them in through eyes, ear, feel, whatever, and you accepted it. Now that could very well be pushing you off your path. If your path was to come here, for example, to be a vegan, as an example, and you wanted to experience what life would be like in the human body as a vegan when you don't consume flesh of any kind at all and anything from the animals, and you do live your life as a vegan, and God willing, you show up in a family that all they do is barbecue everything that's flesh. So, you know, you will be eating it before you have an opportunity to say, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. So my point being that it's easy to be taken off your path based on what we're told, based on what we see and how we're guided by our ancestors and their parents and so on and forever. Therefore, to answer the question a little bit more direct is, if you're not fulfilling or not finishing the purpose as to why you've come here, you will choose to repeat. Now, we've had questions on the show asking us, do we choose not to come back? Yes, we do have that choice not to repeat another human life and then something else begins. Thank you for that. I hope it answers your question. You know, when does it start? When does it stop? Life itself doesn't start or stop. It just changes. At one point you were without a body, then it changed to you being with a body. And then after that, it changes without you being a body. And that cycle continues. It doesn't start. It doesn't stop, much like your ring. It just continues. And this is our existence on this planet that we call Earth. So... I don't know that I use the word brain dead, because that's loaded, and that could be very unfair if we're not mindful of what another person is going through and we haven't walked in their shoes to know what their life is all about. It's easy for us to jump to a conclusion and call them stupid, brain dead, all these things, but it's not necessarily the fair thing to do, because you don't necessarily understand their position. And by for sure, I know, like all the other human beings on this planet, we don't know the other man's purpose or woman. Because we don't know what they're supposed to do, we generally try to get them to come and live their life our way. We try to convince them that our religion's the best, our food's the best, our music's the best, our lifestyle's the best. Come and join us. And if they refuse, then we have the right to say, my gosh, are you ever brain dead? Because how could you choose that path when this one is sweeter, let's just say. Well, you don't know that for sure. In order to say that, you must know their purpose as well as your own. And if you did know your purpose, you'll clearly understand that it's not figure out how to get people to join you on your path. Unfair, I think, to call another brain dead. We don't agree with a lot of the things we see people do every day. And we all say, why aren't you thinking? Or what is wrong with you? And this is judgment, of course, and you know I'm not all about the judgment thing. However, because we don't know where they're coming from, it's unfair to label them simply because they're different than us. Earlier, I talked about the rose and the mushroom, and you can tell, or the rose and the cactus, my son likes to say, because I always tell him to make sure when you're picking that girl, you go for the cactus, because that's what you want. And the rose is just beautiful to look at. And what else does it do? Anyway, they do have their own qualities, and they both serve their own purpose. And neither one is right or wrong. Neither one is better than the other. We have choices, and most of us will choose to love the rose as opposed to loving the cactus, But we, human beings, have the ability to create our own taste and we make our own choices. But both of those plants do have their own purpose. And it's unfair for the rose to call the cactus ugly because the rose is only using the rose's eyes, not the cactus eyes. I'm just saying that we can't label other people simply because we don't know where they're coming from. And the only reason we get frustrated and angry with some of their actions that they bring about is simply because we would do something different. But we are different from them in the sense that we make our own choices. We're the same at the core. Like I said, when your cup is being filled, it's being filled with the same thing. And as you journey through life, we change it, we alter it, we add to it, we subtract from it, we get it influenced in all, you know, all the things that we do. If we call them brain dead, we're being very judgmental and we're thinking that we're the greater or the better simply because they're seeing it differently than we see it. Thank you very much for that, Alice. I hope it worked out for you. I hope I answered the question and gave you some sort of satisfaction. Today, we're talking about adapting to the environment and not wanting to adapt to the environment if it's not working for you, if it's not sparking you up, if it's not giving you what you thought it would give you. Like perfect example, a lot of people, they're going into this marriage and when they get there, they go, oh my God, is this it? And now they want out because they hadn't planned for the work that's required to sustain that lifestyle. They can't see it until they're in it. This is why I say some of the environments could be toxic and you are not aware of it until you're in the depth of it. You're not aware of it until you're in the midst of it. But if you're there now and you're not feeling it, it's not working. It didn't give you the knight in shiny armor to come and take you away so you could live happily ever after. Guess what? You misjudged it or you read it wrong because you can't tell the true feeling of it until you're standing in those shoes, if you know what I mean. So if you're there and you're not seeing the glitter and the gold, you're not happy with it? Well, you can do a couple of things. You can try to alter it or have excellent communication to get everybody to get on board so it'd be satisfactory your way. Or you could just leave. Just step out. Just create a new way. We've all gone into these situations and the exterior of it, it looks beautiful. Like we all think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I'm sure you've heard that before. The grass may be greener on the other side of the fence. It is possible, however, it's not yours. And once you get there, you have an influence and an impact on it. So you may change the greenery to something different. Is the grass greener on the other side of the fence? Probably, but does it belong to you? Is the question you should be asking. And why can't you have it? Well, get over there and figure out how it got that green and make it greener or make yours just as good. I'm not talking about grass. We're talking about changing the environment that you're a part of. And when you get a good look at it from the exterior of it all, you can't make a clear judgment as to what it's like to be on the interior. However, if you did step into it and it's not serving you, please do not think it is going to change without you doing something about it. And do not accept it. Because that means you're settling. And if you've settled, you've just paralyzed the journey that you're supposed to be on. Because now you're not taking the path of righteousness. Now you're just settling and going along with it. Just go with the flow, whatever. Well, that's not your goal. That's not your purpose. You didn't come here to choose. Whatever. Why would you? Wake up. Take a step towards recognizing if that environment that was serving you or you thought would serve you is not doing it. Now it's time to change and not to adapt to anything that is not what you signed up for. You can stabilize the mind and it teaches you how to be rigid. If you stabilize the mind, it'll teach you how to be confident. If you stabilize your mind, it will give you the focus that is required. If you stabilize your mind, you will accomplish getting rid of the fear or the anxiety that exists if you stabilize your mind. And by doing that is not to be scattered. And if you think you're scattered, take a good look. If you're not sure if you are or not, take a good look at your environment and see how well that is serving. It's always a clear picture of what's going on in the mind. And sometimes you're so convinced that this is the way it should be, you settle and you accept it. Every time I talk to people, especially in a very, very busy society, they're telling me, well, I have to multitask. I have to multitask. I've got to do this. I've got to do all these things because they're so scrambled on trying to multitask. But here's the thing, and the truth of it is, there's no such thing as multitask. You can only do one thing at a time. You're just messing up the other ones. And you may say, no, you could cook and do this. But for that moment, when you shift from the cooking to doing the vacuum at the same time or doing the dishes, you are changing your mindset from one to the other. Therefore, in conclusion, you're only allowed or you're only capable of doing one thing at a time. You're just messing up the other ones or not paying full attention to it. So the multitask thing, and I get people call in all the time and they challenge me on it and they disagree. But you must know that if you can't multitask, you're messing up other things. You just believe you're being efficient and being all this great things by trying to accomplish so many things at one time. But be mindful as to focus on the one thing at a time. If you believe truly in your heart that you could pull this fictitious thing they call multitasking, if you think you could pull that off, go to the closest mirror and look at both eyes at the same time. And please come back with a different argument because you're not able to do that either. You could see them both, but you can only look at one. Multitasking is the same concept. And I say all that to say, do not fall into a trap. Do not adapt to the environment. What we're trying to do in trying to get you reversed from somewhere where you're not happy is to get you to stabilize the mind. And in order to get the mind stabilized, you have to practice the art of meditation. It just slows down the thoughts. And the 50 that you've got going through there in 1 second will eventually become one or none in that time. In doing so, you have rid yourself of the anxiety. And if you're having a hard time sleeping, you should try practicing meditation for a while and learn how to adapt that into your life. What's happening in our brain all the time is we're constantly being bombarded by a lot of thoughts or concerns or just things that's not relevant as to the moment I'm trying to go to bed and rest. But we take them all on, and some of us will take a pill to fall asleep and take another one to wake up, or a coffee or something to wake up. That's not how it was designed. That's not how you were designed. Wake up and live your best self. So we want to get into talking about how to stabilize the mind so you could be peace and calm all the time. Do not panic about anything. Do not get excited about anything. You just live a life of peace and tranquility where you're at ease. In doing this, you have a very stable mind. You won't want to do artificial stimulation. You won't want to escape by using products that's available. You will want to be in a conscious state at all time. How do you stable your mind? You want to get rid of the habits that you thought were impossible to rid yourself of. How do you stable the mind? You want to be able to have a space between your thoughts. How do you stable the mind? You get to a place where you're comfortable, you're relaxed, you're set, and you practice not having a thought. Now you're meditating. This is how you stable the mind. And in having a stable mind, you will lose a lot of the distractions the anxiety, the fear, the frustration, all the things that come in that nice little bundle that may keep you up at night. You have to rid yourself and clean house, working on stabling the mind. And in doing that, you will learn all the things about you that's not actually you. The untrue part of you will disappear, where all that will remain is just the true you. This is how you stable the mind. We speak a lot about practicing meditation. Devote a lot of your time into quieting the mind, even if it's for 3 minutes a day. Settle down in the middle of the day, you're doing your task. When you finish one, take a 30-second break, empty the brain, empty the mind, and before you start the next one, so they don't run into each other. This is how you stable the mind. Is it important? Absolutely. Are you going to be able to handle everything that comes at you? Of course you will. You're getting a thought now, I imagine, every half of a second, and then you let it go. Don't dwell on it. Don't travel it down. Don't travel with it down the rabbit hole. You open your mind. You stabilize the mind. It will teach you how to live your best self. And it's definitely teaching you how to wake up. And you don't have to be chasing that great gift in the sky, because it's not relevant to our existence. And most often they're telling you, you're going to appreciate the life after this one more than you do that one. You will appreciate the life after this one more than this life, which means that this life would be redundant. Why bother? Just go to the next one, because the next one sounds a lot better. But it's not. It is what you make it. The thoughts that you have right now is what's guiding you and has brought you to where you are today. If within yourself you feel you want to change that, the method of change is within you. We resort to stabilizing the mind. We resort to meditation, and whatever mental, physical condition that you're in, the body has the ability, you, the spiritual soul side of you, and the body has the ability to make that happen. You just have to know that. And for a lot of us, we don't know that we are a super, super machine. We are the gods that exist on this planet. This is why I say, wake up. A direct path to finding that inner strength in you is by stabilizing your mind. Calm it down. Get rid of all the things that are unimportant. And when you take a real good look at of all of it, it's all relatively small stuff. So don't sweat the small stuff. Don't spend the greater part of your day thinking about or reflecting on or being afraid of the things that are not that important to you. This is why we say wake up. And if you learn and practice your meditation, it brings you to the path that will give you a clear view as to where you are, and you will know who you are. And once you know who you are, you'll definitely know how to act. Don't allow the environment to adapt you into its clutches, because it's not going to voluntarily set you free. You are the only one that has that ability to set yourself free. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but yourself can free your mind. That is the absolute truth to our existence. So you need to get to a point in life where you are secure enough, stable enough, confident enough to understand that all the tools that are required to give you this greatness that you achieve, whatever it may be, is right within you. And all we have to do is spend some time and trying to figure out how to get to that tool room and see all the goodies that's in there. Wake up. You owe it to yourself. It's your human existence. You've come here for a purpose. Earlier, we had an email, and Alice was saying about somebody who seems to be brain dead. And I forgot to mention, how do we know that somebody is not our teacher and is there to teach us what not to do? We have to love him or her accordingly, because they serve a very important person of delivering a message. And it simply could be, please don't do what I do. Please don't do that. And the reason they use their bodies for that demonstration is simply because us human beings, we don't listen, but we definitely watch and we move according to the action of other people. Your action teaches in greater volumes than the words. If you're thinking that person's brain dead, buy him a beer, because he's teaching you not to act like him or her. And, you know, maybe a glass of wine. Have we got any more?
We have three emails here. Sue wrote in and she said, I hear a lot of times on your show, you mention there's no place to go after we die, such as heaven or hell. I kind of agree with that, but here's my question. During our transition, where do we go if we're in a casket in the ground or an urn? Or an urn in a cemetery? Where do we do this transition? In those areas? Okay, that's from Sue. Tommy says, Barrington, I know your show is out of Canada. I'm in the U.S. I just wanted to ask you, do you have any take on the Queen's death? It doesn't mean a lot to us down here, but I know up in Canada, it may mean something to a lot of people. That's Tommy. And lastly, Nate writes in and says, OMG, finally someone agrees with me. I have a million arguments about people about multitasking. I can't believe it. I tell them that's BS. There's no way the human mind can concentrate on doing two things at once because the other will suffer. I've had these arguments with family and friends for a decade. There is no such thing as multitasking, and when I see that, read it, or people discuss it, it drives me nuts. That's from Nate. And back to you.
Well, thank you, Nate. And like you, thank you for that email. I appreciate that. It's giving me a little chuckle here, because like you, I go through this when I talk to people again. We're not able to do the same thing at the same time. Two different things at the same time. Multitasking, no, it's not real. However, we like to bring it in. Yes, I could drive down the 4 highway and drink a coffee, but at that split second, I am only concentrating on one. So let me put the coffee down and take the more important one to deal with. And a lot of the times I hear people talk about, you know, for example, you're on your cell phone, the police in where we live in Ontario here will give you trouble for being on the phone because your hand's holding the phone and you're distracted. Well, I always say it's not the phone that I'm holding that's distracted me. It's a conversation that I'm carrying on with somebody else. Maybe even the radio I'm listening to, I'm preoccupied listening to or participating in the conversation. If I were able to multitask, I would have a much chance of explaining and winning that battle that I could do both. But no, you're just messing one up. Going back to what you're saying, you're absolutely right. Good for you. Stick to that. You're on point, and your friends are not going to agree with you, because mine don't either, in thinking that we can multitask. No, you can't. The ability to concentrate on something is a unique, individual, one at a time thing. So no, multitasking is not real. Sounds good though, and it makes a lot of us feel important, because we can do all these things. I barely can walk and chew gum. And, you know, that's just how it is. I just focus on the most important one. Multitask is just somebody's way of saying I am busy and I'm important. Look at me, but it's not real. All it is you're messing up something else. Can you slow it down and do one thing at a time? Yes, you'll be most effective. If you were able to multitask, again, you could walk in front of that mirror and look at yourself in both eyes at the same time, then you're multitasking. But because that's not possible, you will see both, but you can only look at one at the same time. Like when people are sitting in the bar listening to music, you can hear it, but when you shift your attention to listening to what they're saying, you've lost track of the conversation that you may or may not have been a part of. Multitasking, Nate, you're absolutely right. Nailed it. It's not real. Tommy, yes, we are part of Canada's Commonwealth. British Commonwealth. We do follow. We're a multicultural country, though, and a lot of people here are coming from other countries that live here now that they're not a part of the Queen's death. They feel empathy or sad by it because they don't follow what the Queen represents. We do in Canada as a nation. We're sad that our Queen's gone. However, I will leave it there. She means a lot to everybody because she's a human being, and she means a lot more to those who followed her. And for us in Canada, we're part of that team. A lot of people that are here, they're Canadians before they immigrated to this country. But we're sad to see her go, and all the other things that you would say when somebody passes away. And I haven't taken a minute of my day to ask other people how they view it, because their views may be different, will be different from others. But we just have to accept the fact that the Queen has passed away. And we're not doing that on this show. We're speaking directly about spirituality and waking people up to their own reality. Which brings us into what Sue was asking about. Say there's nowhere to go, and thank you for being a listener to the show, Sue. Nowhere to go after this. Well, it's been proven, and we've been told many times that there is a heaven up there somewhere. No one can tell us specifically where it is. Much like if you believe in mythology, they said all the gods lived up on top of Mount Olympus, and we could never get close to them because you feel faint and you'll pass out. Well, today's time, we could say, yeah, the oxygen up there is a lot thinner in the air, and you can't survive up there. So good to say they're up there, but now that we have weather balloon and airplane and curious people climbing the mountain, we realize that was just a story that was being told to them in that moment of time. And they believed it. They lived their portion of the life accordingly to believe that the gods that governs everything that we do lives on top of Mount Olympus, I think, Poseidon, and Poseidon's in the sea, but you get my point. So do we go anywhere else from here? No. You wanted to ask about exit in the body, and what point does the transition occur? The minute you've left the body, the spirit leaves the body, the soul leaves the body, you're no longer attached to it. It could be, pardon the expression, just firewood from there on in. The separation occurs the minute the soul leaves the body. If you was to put us on a scale and monitor that weight on the scale, the mass, you will see the minute or the second that the soul leaves the body, the body's weight will change. It will change. So we are a living entity within this body, and we're not necessarily the body. The body is just our vehicle. Where does the transition occur? The minute you leave from there. When we end up in this fictitious place they call hell, we're not there. We're just firewood in a coffin. Or something like that, or a pillow, or rocks. We're not a part of that. We don't go with it. The body, the life can only go to the moment of separation. So when you're, whatever you're going to do after you separate the body, be buried, be burned, be whatever they do, you are no longer attached to it. It no longer belongs to you. It's gone. Like taking your old car to the records and they crush it and give you a new one, or you go buy a new one. There is nowhere to go. We leave the body. We're still here. We exist as a soul because it encumbers everything that's part of this universe. It is all here. There is no up there and there is no down there. So where else is there? It's just here. And by the way, at the same time, it's just now. It's here and it's now, and you're not going to go anywhere. I argue, I have conversation, and we agree to disagree in a lot of these things simply because people know, or they're convinced that there is a hub up there where we could go later on, hold hands, drink milk, and sing Kumbaya. Sounds fantastic. And then the other place they talk about is down there. It sounds like it's going to be a wicked party. Like it just, all the people who, anyway, we're here. and we're here and we're here now. And there is no attachment to you once you're in the casket, we hope, unless you're a bad person. But no, we hope there's no attachment to you. The minute you exit the body, that property is no longer yours. It is going back to the earth and it blends into the earth like it always will for the eternity. For eternity. It's really morbid to think that for the length of time that we've been here and the amount of people who has borrowed soil from the body and then give it back, that maybe you're just getting recycled soil or recycled something else. That may explain a third head. But anyway, that's just me being comical. You don't go anywhere. Once you've exited the body, the soul returns to what it is. Much like the change from a solid, from liquid to a solid, once the solid changes back to liquid, it becomes all that there is. Or once the liquid will change to gas, for example, that's a better example. When you're, the water will change to a gas. When you change from the liquid self to become the gas self, then the liquid is no longer part of you. It just goes back to its original source. Much like when you leave the body, the spiritual side of you goes back into the spiritual existence of life, which is all that there is, the great wave, everything that's connected. And then after that, the body returns to the earth, which is 85% of who we are. The other 15 is made up of all the fancy things we have here, like sodium, mercury, saline, all these other things. But it will return to the earth. And the minute it's back to the earth, it has nothing to do with you. You don't own it. You can't reclaim that. You know, it's going to be passed. And you're probably wearing your ancestors', you know, shoulders or something. Probably just, again, me just trying to be comical. You're not connected to the spiritual part that's within you. I hadn't realized how much time we've used up, and that was a very good question. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. They were all good questions, concerns, and great wishing and whatnot. You're listening to Barrington. There's a book out there called Awaken Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose. You could pick it up at Amazon.com. If you have something you want to say to us, question you want to ask, if we didn't get to your question today, please don't be discouraged. You will come back and we'll readdress it the next time we talk again. We want to talk briefly, or the seconds that I have available. Practice your meditation. Sit still. Don't hold a thought for as best as you can. The longer you practice, the better you become at it. It is going to make your life more amazing. And this is what we say to people. Wake up. Wake up. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. So remember, if you're in that environment that's not serving you, if you're in that place that's not helping you out, if you're having the life that's not as fulfilled as you thought it would be, you have the obligation within you to turn around and change it. And you start by digging into yourself. The idea of looking out there, and I just went through a whole list of there is no out there. It's all internalized. Everything is within you. And if you're worshiping, looking out there, praying out there for the answers to come to you, you're wasting a lot of time. Just look within yourself, because you have this great ability as human beings within yourself to find that source. Find that source and plug yourself into it and get this rejuvenating charge of life. You owe it to yourself. I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you guys all for being a part of the show. Thank you for being there. And until we talk again, don't forget that this show's repeated Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock, same place. Thank you very much, and have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.